Matthew 25, we're going to be looking at some parables of Jesus. And this parable that we're going to be reading this morning, Matthew 25, verses 1 to 30. Yes, no, 14 to 30. Let us hear the word of the Lord as we continue in our this wonderful time of worship and praise and celebration this morning. You can follow the screen behind me or in the Pew Bibles. It's page 983. Let us hear God's word. Again, it will be like a man, Jesus is speaking here. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man. You are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid. I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed? Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, what a morning we're having so far. Aren't you glad you came to church this morning? Ah, yes. And welcome. Great to see people visiting with us, and we certainly pray God's blessing upon you and your family as you have joined us in this time of worship. I'm just so grateful that every week we can come together in such freedom to praise God and to celebrate what God is doing. So I encourage you throughout this day and throughout this morning to just share with one another how God has been at work in your life. What he's revealing to you, what he's showing you, what he's teaching you, and our prayer this morning is that by the end of this time together, you will have known God more, experienced his power like never before, and he is changing lives in this place, and for that we give him thanks. Now, as we enter into God's word, I just read a parable, one of many parables that Jesus teaches, and this was one way Jesus often taught, through parables. And a parable is literally something cast alongside something else. So in Greek, the word parable means to cast alongside of. And so what we have here, when Jesus spoke in parables, he was casting alongside. He was telling a story that was cast alongside a heavenly truth. As the good word says, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. And so his teaching of parables were an opportunity for him to speak truth and to communicate truth through a story. And a common description of a parable is that it is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Okay, you got it? That's what a parable is. Jesus taught. And as you read through the Gospels, there are many parables. But of course, without the Holy Spirit's help, we will not understand God's word. And so we are trusting that in faith that God will help us understand his word even more today. The parable that we're looking at today is from Matthew 25, and it's found in a series of Jesus' teaching concerning end times. It concerns getting ready for Jesus and his second coming. Because as if you know your Bibles, you know that one day Jesus will return again. And so he's teaching his followers basically how you shall then live. How should you be living until he returns? And that's why we have this parable. And the main focus of this parable is on stewardship. Stewardship. And what is stewardship? If I were just to throw out that question, how would you define stewardship? Anybody? What are some words?
Faithfulness.
Ah, that came twice. Great. What else?
Responsibility.
Giving. Yes. So think about what stewardship means. Are you a good steward? Here are some examples of good stewardship. This isn't a good example of stewardship, of course, because God doesn't want us to be using our money like this, right? And that's sad because that's reality. But yeah, this is an example of not being a good steward of your money, right? How about the next one? This isn't a good way of being a good steward of nature. So when you see pollution, this is just one way pollution looks like. That's not a good example of being a good steward of earth, of nature that God has given to us to rule. How about the next one? This is a little better, right? Tree planting. Perhaps you've done that. We're giving back. We're nurturing. We're helping things grow again. We're taking care of the earth. That's being a good steward of the land. How about the next one? Well, this was not mine, Bruce. There's a long story about that. Back in the day when I first lived here, I accidentally left my lawnmower outside and it snowed. And then I heard it every Sunday for like 3 months. But a mechanic would say this isn't a good stewardship of your lawnmower, okay? Not a good idea. Things won't last that way. How about the next one? Being a good steward of just your time and your energy and your life. This is feeding the homeless. I think that's a good example of being a good steward of your life and how you can help others. The next one, of course, this is a big one because we learn in life that time is a very precious gift from God. We don't know if we're going to be here tomorrow. So your time is a gift from God. How will you use the time he gives you for his kingdom and his purposes? I think that might be it, unless there's one more. Okay. So that's stewardship. Some good examples, some bad examples. But basically, stewardship is the responsibility that we have in maintaining and using wisely what God has given to us. And he has given you so much. Did you know that all of your life is a stewardship before God? In all reality, stewardship is about your entire life. And sometimes we forget that, folks. We do. In this parable, a rich man is traveling to a far country with plans to return at some point in the future. And so he leaves his affairs to his servants, right, whom he trusts to trade and to do business until he returns. To one servant, he gives 5 talents. To one servant, he gives 2, and to another servant, he gives 1. And then the master goes away. And he comes back, and he comes back unannounced. And he comes back to hold them to account. Basically, he returns to give an account for their efforts. What did you do with what I gave you, right? That's the parable. So the man who traveled in the far country, the master, who does that represent, everybody? Jesus. And the servants in the parable represent his followers, born-again followers of Jesus Christ. Is that you? In other words, converted Christians, God has called to follow him. And lastly, a talent. And it's important to know what a talent meant, because a talent in the scriptures, in this passage, refers to a unit of currency. The word talent here does not mean like your ability to play a violin or to sing a song or use a hammer to build something. That's not the meaning of the word talent here. However, it's important to note here that this parable has application to all of our abilities, to all the ways that we can use our gifts and talents to praise God and serve him. But in this parable, the word talent refers to a measure of money, a unit of currency. And so the servants were given a large sum of money, and the master takes off. So there's four things I want us to note from this parable that I think are particularly relevant for us today. First of all, everything that we have and everything that we are is the Lord's. Number two, God has given each of us an incredible amount. Number three, the master calls us to put what he's given us to work. And then lastly, the last lesson we're going to look at is when we know the master, we don't have to be afraid. So let's consider each of those lessons a little bit more in detail. Number one, all that we have and all that we are is the Lord's. Do you know that? Everything that you've been given is from God. Did you notice in the parable, if you look at the parable with me, in this text, do you notice in the parable in the story, who owns the talents? Who? The master, right? The master. The servants don't own anything. They're given the talents. The first servant gets five, the second servant gets two, and then the one servant gets one, and they don't own any of it. The master gives it to them, and then he gives them authority over it. Are they going to be a good steward of it? What decisions are they going to make about it? They don't own it. They're called to be good stewards of it. How are they going to use it? Are they going to bury it in a hole, or are they going to take it and earn more? What are they going to do with what the master gave them? And you know, that's a very important perspective for us as followers of Christ today to have. This is an important perspective. So often we think what we have belongs to us because we've worked hard for it. And we own it, and it's ours. And as I look around this room, I know there are very hard-working men and women that are still working, or perhaps you're retired, but sometimes people will actually believe that, no, I worked hard for this, and it's mine. We own nothing, folks. Everything that we have is from the Lord's. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 7, Paul says to Timothy, after all, we brought nothing with us when we came into this world, and we can't take anything with us when we leave it. Everything that we are is a gift from the Lord. Everything that you have, everything that belongs to you, belongs to the Lord. And I think that perspective is essential for us if we want to live faithfully to Jesus today. So we need to have that perspective that we steward what we're blessed with. We steward it, yes. We look after it. We have authority over it, but ultimately, it's a gift from the Lord. Psalm 24, verse 1 says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. So true. James chapter 1, verses 16 to 17, don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like the shifting shadows. So would you just take a moment with me and think about what you have? Good exercise. Think about who you are. So your possessions, yeah, you're wearing some today. Your personality, there is a lot of diverse personalities in here. It's great. God, how God has created you and wired you, your time, your wealth, your family, just your own life. Listen, we woke up this morning and we took a breath. It's a gift from the Lord. Here's what matters. All of those things are like your talents, okay? So all of those things that you are thinking about, that God has given you, that you own, that you have, that who you are, that's your talent. Now, you are either going to see yourself as an owner or a steward. An owner or a steward. And here's the mentality of the owner. I own this. I have authority over this. It all belongs to me, and I'm going to do whatever I want with it for me, for my benefit, for my for whatever reason, right? Earthly, worldly reason. It is mine. And you know, that's what the seagulls are really saying, if you know where I'm going with that. Mine. I got something started, and it stops right now. That's the mentality of the owner, mine. But the perspective of the steward is totally different, isn't it? The perspective of a steward, this is God's. Since it's from God, I have to use it for His purposes. for his glory, for his kingdom. We are stewards of all God has given to us. Where do I begin? Where do I begin? My children do not belong to me. This property, this wonderful space, this belongs to God. And we are so thankful that he gave it to this church. Your car, your job, your body. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Are you being a good steward of it this week? Are you taking care of it? Your mind, what are you thinking about right now? Only God knows. But may your thoughts be pleasing to the Lord. God has given it to you for you to use for his purposes. And that's the perspective in which we need to internalize and live in the light of. And that's the first lesson. And I think it's an important one in this parable. Everything that you have belongs to God. Number two, lesson two. God has been so generous with each one of us. When you have read this parable, did you ever feel sorry for the one servant that only got one talent? Like, come on. That's not fair. Sometimes kids say that, and adults. That's not fair. What a mean master. He only got one talent. The others got two or five. But you know what? What I want you to do right now, as an exercise, another one, is to take your annual income. What is it? Don't tell me. Think about it. What's your annual income? Whatever it is that's your salary. Whatever that you make in a year, okay? What is that number? Your pension or your savings, your salary, okay? Think about that. Take how much money you have to live on in a year. If you're a student here today, well, just what would you like that number to be, okay? Think about that. Be generous with yourself and realistic. You got that number? Okay, what's that number in your head? Now, I want you to take that number and I want you to multiply it by 20, okay? And if you need to pull out your calculator on your mobile phone, go ahead. What's that number? Times 20. It's not going to be small, right? Multiply that number by 20. Now imagine that I came to you after the service and I handed you a check for that amount. How would you react? How would you react? Be pretty overwhelmed. Yeah, you'd be rejoicing, okay? Where am I going with this? One talent of gold. In the time of this parable that Jesus taught all those thousands of years ago, was told to be equated to 20 times the annual salary of a day labor in first century Palestine, Israel. See, it's the original historical context that we miss sometimes when we read through God's word. The original people hearing Jesus tell this story would have been overwhelmed by the master's generosity, whether it was the five talents, two, or the one servant that got one talent. It didn't matter because they received an incredible amount, okay? So, yes, in the same way, the master, our master, Jesus, has been generous with each one of us. That's the lesson. That's what I want you to hear. Each of us has been given an incredible potential to be used for the kingdom of God. Yes, each one of you. Like the servants in the story, we all have different abilities because they were given according to their ability. We each have different passions. We each have different gifts. We are wired in different ways, and God wants us to work together as one body to build his kingdom. But you know what? Maybe this morning you feel that you don't have that potential. You don't have value or talent. Or ability. Maybe you struggle with issues of self-worth. And that's real. You say you don't see. How could God possibly use my life for his purposes? Maybe you struggle with comparing yourselves to others, which is something we as humans can naturally do. I'm sure you've compared yourself to the person sitting next to you, if you know that person, right? Somehow, some way. Listen, God wants you to compare your life to Christ, not to the person next to you or behind you. But we have to be real because sometimes we struggle. If only I could build a house like George. Sorry, we were talking earlier. If I preach like Pastor Lionel, sing like Kelly or Leslie, right? We do that. We struggle. We compare, if only. But you need to stop that. Can you turn to the person next to you and say that? Stop that. Stop that. That's true. Why? Why are you saying that to me? Pastor Nate? Well, listen, God has been incredibly generous to you. And he has gifted you. And he has equipped you for the ministry that he's calling you to. That's going to be a different ministry than the person next to you. Praise Jesus. It's my prayer that you will recognize the truth that God has been so generous to you and he has gifted you with incredible potential, just like the servants in this story. One talent or five. Lesson three, put to work what the master has given to you. Will you? Put to work what God has given you. The master calls us to put what he's given us to work. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm fascinated by large-scale engineering projects. Whether it's the building of a skyscraper or a bridge. But something that's pretty incredible to me are hydroelectric dams. Maybe that's just me, but anyways. And it doesn't matter the size of the hydroelectric dam, the concept is the same. Whether it's ones in Ontario, the largest one is in China. First, you have some type of concrete barrier, right? How do hydroelectric dams work? You have a barrier that's made out of concrete. And that dam stops the water. And the water backs up and creates what they call a head pond or a reservoir. Okay? You see it in the picture there. You see all that water that's been blocked. And then it flows through the gates that are usually at the bottom. And that water rushes through the gates, turns a turbine, which creates electricity. Pretty simple science, but so incredible how it works. So when the dam stops the water, you have what they call potential energy, right? You see in that big head pond, that reservoir, a lot of potential energy, right? Potential energy is formed when you stop the water. When is it useful? When you open the gates. When you open the gates, there's a better visual. You see the gates open there. So when the gates are open, right, the water flows through the dam. It changes from potential energy to kinetic energy as it spins the turbine and then the generator turns it into electrical energy. It's just fascinating. It's incredible. Why am I sharing this with you? Well, again, in the same way, God's given each of us potential, right? Incredible potential, but we have to open the gates. We have to put it to work. We have to allow what God has given to us to be put to work for his kingdom purposes and to bless others. Easy for me to say, but what does it mean? Well, it doesn't have to be complicated. It's simply asking this. What has God given me, and how can I use it for his purposes and to bless others? Can you ask yourself that? If you forget it, I'll tell you after the service. But the question again, think about this week. What has God given me? What do I have? What's in my hand? And how can I use that for God's purposes and to bless others? Do you cook? Do you bake? Can you do that for someone who's going through a difficult time? Or a family that's just had a baby? We need to be like the servant in the story who went at once and took what he had and put it to work. Do you have financial resources that you could use to bless somebody? Do you have time in your life? Can you take that time to pray for people in need or write an encouragement card to people in the nursing homes? Again, let us go at once and put what God has given to us. Invest it, use it, put it to work. Just like the master in the parable, Jesus has entrusted his servants with these talents to use for his kingdom purposes. And for us as the church, as you read through the Bible, you will learn that that's spreading the gospel. That's forgiving those who have wronged you. Did you know that? That is one way to put it to work. And it's also loving others and caring for his church. It's being an example to the world. It's feeding the hungry and the thirsty. Praise God for these shoeboxes. Caring for the poor, the prisoner, and the sick. It's being hospitable. It's opening your home. Pray. Would you pray through that? God will show you what to do. I don't need to tell you. God will show you how to use what he's given to you. Let those gates be open and be a blessing to those around you. All over the world, praise God, the gospel is growing and bearing fruit as people ask that question. What has God given us? What has he entrusted us and with, and how can we use it for his purposes and to bless others? There's a poem that I came across. Don't know who wrote it, but let me share it with you. My life shall touch a dozen lives before this day is done. That's so true. Leave countless marks for good or ill ere sets the evening sun. This is the hope I always hope, the prayer I always pray. Lord, may my life help other lives it touches by the way. Yes, your life is an influence, whether you realize it or not. It's just, is your life helping people to see Jesus or not? Lesson four and last lesson this morning, we don't have to be afraid when we know the master. When you look at the parable, when you learn about that last servant, right? What did he do with the one parable? What did he do with his one talent? He buried it. Which, by the way, was a very normal thing to do back in that time. It was a safe way of keeping things. You just buried your possessions. But the reason he did it, if you look at the text again, what did he say? In verse 24, I knew that you are a hard man. How about verse 25? So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. Wow. He was afraid. He was afraid to take risks. He was afraid to use what God had given him. He was afraid to lose what he had been entrusted with. And he thought the master was a hard man. Praise God, Jesus is not a hard man. He is compassionate and gracious and just, right? And loving. But this servant, his excuse, wow, that's what it was, an excuse why he didn't do anything with his life. So we do not need to fear our master. Sometimes I think fear is one of the biggest barriers to God accomplishing what he wants through his people and the church. Fear of failure, right? That's very true. What if it doesn't work right? What if it doesn't work out? Or perhaps the fear of loss. Will I have enough for myself if I sacrifice for the kingdom? How about fear of rejection or ridicule? And I don't even need to talk to the high school students about that and the college students, because that's real. Your faith is tested every day in those hallways and on those campuses. Fear of failure, fear of ridicule. What will people say? How will they react if they find out that I'm a Christian? Fear gets in the way. But when we know the master and you know Jesus, we do not need to be afraid. Instead, we can live lives of courageous faith and obedience to God. God has given you the opportunity to be a godly influence in the world around you. At home, at school, at work, when you're walking even through town. Jesus calls us to live lives of courageous faith and obedience so that, what? So that people will see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Matthew chapter 5. And just like the water behind a dam can generate incredible electrical energy as it moves through those turbines or moves and spins those turbines, so we as the church can accomplish great things as we put our collective talents to work for the kingdom of God. As I close, you know, we know in this parable that one day every believer in Jesus Christ will have to give an account for what they did with what God gave them. The master didn't announce his coming. You notice that he just came back after a long time, and it will be the same with Jesus, who could come back tomorrow. What a day that will be. But after a while, Jesus will come back. And the question is, are you ready for his return? Or another way of looking at it is, what would you want to be doing when Jesus returns? Hopefully the answer is to be taking what he has entrusted you with and sharing it with those around you. Again, there were two different responses, right, given to the servants. Two of them heard what? Well done, good and faithful servant. I hope that's me. I pray that it's you. One heard, you wicked, lazy servant. And that servant who wasted his talents wasn't given a really great reward, right? Of him, we can sadly say these things. He didn't think. He didn't work. He didn't even try. He made excuses. Because he was wicked and lazy. The third servant demonstrates in this parable that he was not a true servant of the master at all. And it is fitting that he and those who share that same heart was cast forever out of the master's presence. So in light of this parable, we must ask ourselves, what have we to do with our knowledge, with our time and our money and our abilities? You know, the sins of omission, which is what we don't do, may ultimately be more dangerous than the sins of commission, what we do with our time. Let's put it to work, what God has given us. Martha Barry was a lady with a vision to help children, to help especially poor children whose parents could not send them to school. And in the late 1890s, she began a school for poor children down in the state of Georgia. She had no books, she had no building, she had no money, but she had a God-given dream. And one day she approached Henry Ford, who back then, of course, if you know the name, was a very wealthy businessman. And she asked Henry Ford for a donation. And at the time, Henry Ford was, again, an extremely busy man. So Mr. Ford reached into his pocket and gave Martha Barry just a dime. That's it. Now, most people would have been insulted. Here is this man full of money, and all he could give was a dime. Well, rather be insulted or discouraged by that little gift, Martha took that dime, and she bought a packet of seed peanuts with it. And then she planted a garden and raised a crop. And then she sold that crop and bought more seeds. And she did that over and over again. After 3 or 4 harvests, she had enough money to purchase an old building for the school, for the poor children. One day she returned to Mr. Ford and gave him back his dime. And then she said, "Look at what your dime has done." And she shared about the size of the school, the books, and all that her dream was coming true. Ford was so impressed that day he donated millions of dollars to the Barry School, which she used in return to expand it even more. So the question that underlies this wonderful little story is, and for us this morning, is what will you do with what God has given you? Let us be actively working for the kingdom of God while we wait for his return. And let us remember, we don't do this in our own strength, folks. We have access to the Comforter. We have strength and supernatural power because of the Holy Spirit in his fullness who dwells within every believer in Jesus Christ. Be encouraged by that this morning before you leave. It is this power that equips the church to meet the needs in our wonderful community. The power of the risen Lord at work within us. And God, again, has given you an incredible amount, and he has given you great potential. Everything that we have is his. And he says, put it to work. Put it to work. So when the Lord returns, may he find each one of us actively working, right, for his kingdom while we wait. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we again thank you for, we thank you for your presence here, Lord. Thank you for the work that you're doing in each one of our hearts this morning. Lord, help us to put into practice now what you have laid upon our hearts. And I just pray that if anyone here this morning is really experiencing that compelling power of the Holy Spirit, that they will respond in obedience. That God, you will grant us the courage to live lives of boldness in the name of Jesus to reach Campbellford, Norwood, Marmara, Havelock, Hastings, Workworth, wherever it is that you are from, Lord Jesus, you are sending us out to be salt and light, to make a difference, to spread the influence of the kingdom of God to every corner. In Jesus' name, amen.